Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Raising Mentally Strong Kids is a 204 parenting guide by neuropsychiatrist Daniel G. Ammon, MD, and child psychologist Charles Fay, FADD. The book sits at the intersection of child development, brain health, and practical discipline, combining Ammon's emphasis on neuroscience with Fay's love and logic approach to parenting. Its purpose is to help parents and caregivers move beyond short-term behavior management toward the longer task of raising children and young adults who are responsible, resilient, kind, confident, and able to make sound choices. The book addresses familiar household challenges such as defiance, meltdowns, power struggles, core motivation, screen conflicts, and emotional reactivity, but frames these problems as opportunities to shape both the developing brain and the decision-making mind. Rather than recommending either strict control or permissive acceptance, it argues for a balanced model in which parents provide empathy, structure, choices, and consistent consequences while also caring for their own emotional health. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, mental strength is treated as a brain-based developmental skill, not a fixed personality trait. A central idea of the book is that mental strength can be developed through repeated experiences that shape the brain and the mind. Ammon and Fay present childhood behavior not simply as willfulness or attitude, but as the visible result of developing neural systems, emotional regulation skills, habits, and learned responses. This framing matters because it changes how parents interpret difficult behavior. A meltdown, refusal, or impulsive decision is not excused, but it is understood as a moment when the child needs guidance that strengthens future self-control rather than merely punishment that suppresses the current problem. The book uses accessible neuroscience to explain why children and young adults need practice, handling discomfort, delay, frustration, and responsibility. If parents remove every obstacle, children may lose chances to build the mental pathways involved in persistence and judgment. If parents respond harshly, fear and defensiveness can interfere with learning. The distinctive claim is that resilience grows when challenge is paired with supportive structure. Parents are therefore encouraged to think less in terms of winning an argument, and more in terms of building capacities that children can carry into school, friendships, work, and adult relationships. Secondly, the consultant parenting style replaces control battles with guided decision-making. The love and logic influence is clearest in the book's preference for a consultant style of parenting. Instead of acting as a commander who tries to control every decision, or as a rescuer who prevents every consequence, the parent becomes a calm guide who gives limited choices and lets children experience responsibility within safe boundaries. The reasoning is practical. Children often resist direct control, especially as they grow older. But they are more likely to cooperate when they are given some ownership over their choices. A parent might set the non-negotiable boundary, such as homework must be completed or screens must be turned off, while allowing the child to choose when or how to comply within acceptable limits. This does not mean giving children equal authority over adult decisions. It means sharing control strategically so that children practice judgment while parents still protect health, safety, and family values. The approach also reduces power struggles because the parent no longer needs to argue endlessly or lecture. When choices are clear and consequences are predictable, children learn that freedom and responsibility are connected. Over time, this style aims to build internal decision-making rather than dependence on external pressure. Thirdly, empathy and logical consequences are presented as complementary, not opposing, discipline tools. The book emphasizes that effective discipline requires both warmth and accountability. In the love and logic model, empathy comes before consequences because it lowers defensiveness and preserves the relationship, while the consequence allows reality to teach. This combination is important because many parenting approaches lean too heavily in one direction. Pure harshness may produce compliance but can weaken trust, increase secrecy, or teach children to focus on avoiding punishment rather than making wise choices. Pure sympathy without boundaries may protect the child from immediate discomfort, but can prevent the development of responsibility. Ammon and Fay argue for a middle path in which parents remain emotionally steady, express care, and then allow appropriate outcomes to follow. The consequence should be connected to the behavior, whenever possible, reasonable in scale, and delivered without humiliation. This keeps the focus on learning rather than parental anger. The deeper purpose is to help children link choices with outcomes in a way that strengthens conscience, problem-solving, and self-regulation. By avoiding lectures and emotional escalation, parents conserve their own energy and make it more likely that the child reflects on the decision instead of reacting to the parent. Fourthly, family goals and values are used to make daily parenting decisions more consistent. One of the book's practical contributions is its emphasis on clarifying family priorities before conflicts arise. Tools such as the one-page miracle and the does it fit question are designed to move parents and children from reactive behavior toward value-guided decisions. The one-page miracle is a compact goal-setting exercise that helps families identify what matters in areas such as relationships, school or work, finances, and personal growth. The purpose is not simply organization. It gives parents a reference point when deciding how to respond to behavior and gives children a clearer picture of the kind of life their choices are building. The Does It Fit framework works similarly by asking whether a choice fits the family's stated values and goals. This matters because inconsistency is one of the common causes of conflict at home. When rules shift according to parental fatigue or frustration, children are more likely to test boundaries. A shared framework reduces arbitrary decision-making and makes correction less personal. The child is not merely being opposed by the parent. By the parent, the behavior is being measured against an agreed direction. This can make discipline more coherent and less emotionally charged. Lastly, parental well-being and mutual dignity are treated as part of the child development environment. The book does not present parenting as a set of techniques applied to children in isolation. It repeatedly points to the parent's emotional health, relationships, and modeling as part of the environment that shapes a child. The principle of mutual dignity is important here. Children learn how to treat others partly by observing how adults treat themselves, partners, friends, and the child. If parents routinely sacrifice sleep, self-care, calm communication, or marital respect, they may unintentionally model the very dysregulation they want children to avoid. This does not mean parents must be perfect. It means that adult habits become lessons, especially in stress. The book, therefore, encourages parents to regulate themselves, set boundaries, and maintain respectful relationships as a foundation for teaching children to do the same. This is also where the book is more demanding than a simple tips manual. Its strategies require consistency, reflection, and parental restraint, which can be difficult for overwhelmed families. Some readers may want more attention to cultural, economic, or family structure differences. Even so, its insistence that the parent's brain, choices, and relationships matter prevents the book from reducing child behavior to child compliance alone. In conclusion, raising mentally strong kids is best suited for parents, caregivers, educators, and family professionals who want practical discipline tools, but also want a clearer explanation of why those tools matter developmentally. It will be especially useful for adults dealing with repeated power struggles, emotional outbursts, motivation problems, screen time conflict, or children who avoid responsibility. The practical benefit is that it gives parents language and structure for responding calmly, offer limited choices, preserve empathy, allow logical consequences, clarify values, and model the regulation being taught. The intellectual benefit is its effort to connect everyday parenting with brain development, habit formation, emotional regulation, and long-term decision-making. Compared with many parenting books, it stands out because it deliberately combines two recognizable traditions, Amen's Brain Health Focus and Faye's Love and Logic Framework. But some books emphasize neuroscience but remain abstract. Others offer discipline scripts without explaining the developmental logic behind them. This book tries to bridge those approaches. Its most realistic value is not that it makes parenting effortless, but that it gives overwhelmed adults a coherent model for being both compassionate and firm. Readers who prefer highly specialized clinical guidance may need additional resources, but those seeking an accessible, integrated parenting framework will find it distinctive. If you would like to support Daniel G. Ammon, MD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.